Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone.
WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And joining us on the Commons today, we have our old friend, Jan Bergman. Jan is president of the extremely active and very successful Cyber Citizens for Justice in Florida. And Jan, you have been busy. You've been doing a lot of neat stuff, and some not-so-neat stuff has happened. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to get caught up a little bit because it's been a while since we talked.
Well, thanks for having me again. And yes, a lot has happened here in Florida, and mostly not-so-good things. I mean, not considering the bad economy and the dead real estate market, but instead of improving the fate of the people who were lured into these community associations, they made it even worse. They passed bills which actually do partially the opposite of what these owners and association boards were promised, and it looks really bleak. And, you know, I just can't understand why legislators seem to have the attitude. Sometimes I get the feeling they hate people living in community associations, because otherwise I can't understand their actions.
Why would they hate them? Because these people who live, and please don't call them community associations. There's nothing community about these blasted things. They're communes.
We are on the radio, and I can't call them with the name I would like to call them. I'm sorry about that.
Gulags might work really nicely and still pass the anti-profanity laws that we have to abide by on the air in Virginia, but I don't know why they would hate them, because in a lot of ways it is the homeowners who are actually supplementing a lot of the tax dollars that otherwise they would not be getting. I mean, they'd have to take the politically suicidal thing to just raise taxes to be able to do what they want. Now all they do is just shunt it over into these associations and say, here, you provide all of these things, and if you go belly up and, you know, if you create all kinds of messes, that's fine. We're not going to be politically affected by this.
Yeah, but see, here comes the problem. You know, if you look in the, you know, the announcement from the federal courts, you know, the bankruptcy announcement, guess what? You're finding lots and lots of homeowner associations, condominium associations, you name it. They just can't pay their bills anymore.
Oh, I know,
you know,
it's bad.
We have had here in Florida already condos that were cleaned out because everybody had to leave because they couldn't pay their water bill and their electricity bill anymore. And the whole building falls in disrepair and gets torn down, you know, down in Broward County. They're just debating to tear down a whole building.
Are you serious? They're actually going to demolish the
association?
Hey, that's one way of getting rid of it. But what about the people who actually called that place home?
Well, I think there were 14 parties who actually honestly bought, paid, and tried to pay their mortgage and everything. But they couldn't pay the full bill for the whole association because nobody else paid anymore. And they have now no home. They lost their savings that they put in buying this home. And on top of it, they're stuck because they still have a mortgage to pay. But no home anymore. You know, that is kind of, you get clobbered from all sides.
I read something yesterday that says half all of these foreclosed homes are owned by the government because they have the government loans, you know, the FHA, VA, and then you have Freddie and Fannie. And all of these. Yeah, so half of these are owned by the government.
And that is most likely true. And but see, it seems nobody cares. because you know, we have it here in Florida. We have a few legislators who are really, really trying hard to work for the people, for the owners, because they see what is really going on. You know, a legislator like State Representative Julio Urbina, you know, who was at every town hall meeting all over the state, who listened, who looked at the documents he was supplied showing the disaster that is happening in these associations. And when push came to shove with the bill, the so-called leaders who were already bought and paid for by the special interest decided to pass a bill which is 103 pages long and which has more problems than a street dog flees. We can go into some details a little later, but it is just horrible. And under the line, it does absolutely nothing to help these associations, which really are in trouble. We have associations where 40, 50, 60% of the units at our homes don't pay. You know, then they equip them with all these stupid book contracts. You know, it's like a communist system. The person who still has the money has to pay for the people who don't. You know, that is all what is left from this association living. You know, and the stupidity they try to tell everybody, it's protecting property values. The economy has shown that exactly the opposite is the truth. You know, because the communities inside the association, nobody wants them. You know, because everybody knows in the meanwhile what happens, that you have to pay not only your dues, but the dues of your two neighbors next door as well, because they have given up paying. You know, and when you talk to real estate people, they say, well, the market is more or less dead. I mean, honestly, you can't give your home away here in Florida in the moment. The people who come and honestly look for buying something, we'll tell them, but, you know, I look for a house, you know, that size and the whole nine yards, but please not located within an HOA. But here comes the problem in Florida. Everything what is newer than 10 years is located within an HOA because they didn't allow developers to build any other thing anymore, and now they're all stuck. You know, and there are no new people, and you know, Florida has the highest age average in the whole United States. That means people die a lot more often than they do in other states. And that leaves a lot of empty units and homes.
Jan, I have to stop you. I have to stop you here. You're painting such a beautiful picture of Florida.
Wow, and honestly, you know, I still try to obey by your Virginia law, so that's the polite version. you honestly wouldn't believe what is going on in some of these associations.
Oh, I think I would. I think I hear from people, but I think what you're telling me is people are dying to get out of there, right? Literally?
Yeah, I tell you one thing. If tomorrow somebody would come and say, hey, I pay you 80% of what your home was worth in 2005. You would, you know, the movers would have big days. I mean, they would be totally overbooked. The people would flee out of Florida in a heartbeat. And you know, already since last year, we have more people moving out of Florida than moving into Florida. Now add all the people who are dying here, who are not part of this statistic. You know, we have in the moment an estimated 360,000 empty homes and condos. And with empty, I mean empty. Nobody lives in there.
You're talking about the units, actual...
Units and homes, yes, together.
Okay. Well, if it's in an association, it's a unit, it's not a home.
Okay, fine.
We have to do that.
Okay, 360,000 units, let's do it that way, are empty. There's nobody there. You know, they fall into disrepair, they just collapse, you know, people come steal everything what's of any kind of value. You know, you see in the TV, you see pictures of houses that have been raided. I mean, everything was taken out, including the copper pipes in the walls.
Are these the houses that have been foreclosed on?
Mostly, yes.
Yeah, so the owners are taking what they can and they're salvaging.
No, there's more people just plainly breaking in.
The owners
left because many people here just say, look, we have a $300,000 mortgage. The house on the market is worth maybe $160,000 still. So our mortgage is upside down. Why should we bother? You know, they live there a few months to collect the money for something different, and then they disappear. You know, and the house is sitting there, and the house is still sitting there, and somebody finds out, and somebody breaks in and cleans out the house.
Wow. That's bad.
Well, that's why I sometimes say instead of sending our Marines to Afghanistan, you know, maybe we should send them in these associations here, you know, to clean up the mess.
So 360 units are vacant.
360,000.
I'm sorry, 300. Yes, I forgot the thousand.
You forgot the three zeros.
I forgot the three zeros. How could I do that?
Even if zeros don't count for anything,
in this case
very important.
Absolutely, you're absolutely correct. The three zeros. Don't forget it. So, Jan, I want to get back to one of the questions that I have been asking I've got a number of questions that I've been asking time and time again. You know, is this communal association type of housing a valid and viable form of housing? It doesn't seem to me, I cannot, for the life of me, see whether it's a sustainable form of housing.
It is not. I mean, we know it, and you don't forget, you know, we talked about it here on the radio years ago when I said, you know, see, in Europe they don't have these problems because they don't make associations out of their housing, you know, and now that the economy is so bad, it's even more obvious because Europe has economy problems as well. There's no question. You know, they have similar issues than we have here. But they don't have the bad real estate market. They don't have the problems. They don't have the problems with foreclosures. They don't have the problems that people can't pay their bills anymore because they had to pay a special assessment because their neighbors didn't pay. That's all unknown.
Or because management or because a board member actually absconded with the money that was in the kitty. I mean, that's a big problem as well, Jan.
Yeah, and nobody does anything about it. You know, you go to the police and to the state attorney's office and say, look, you know, our treasurer embezzled $350,000. You know, oh, tough luck, you know, it's a civil matter, sue him.
It's a civil matter. But you know, Julio Urbina started this pilot project in Miami-Dade County where he actually trained law enforcement to go in and investigate all of these allegations of fraud and embezzlement. How successful has that pilot program been? Is it still ongoing?
It is still ongoing, but to be very, very honest, it is not really successful. But
not because
of the goodwill and the real good attempts to do something about it. It plainly lacks the fact that there are enough trained, call them detectives or accountants or whatever, who find the sufficient proof exactly how much was embezzled. And without that, the state attorney will not prosecute. And the people who are dealing with the investigations are not knowledgeable in association issues. You know, more or less the only time when we had really convictions, and we had quite a few. I have a whole page full of stories about conviction, but nevertheless, it's only still a small portion, came to pass when the owners hired forensic auditors who really proved up to the point how much money was missing, how it was done, and so on. Because the police or sheriff or whoever is responsible in that area doesn't have the trained people to really find the real issues. And that is the reason why Julio Romina tried since 3 years now to have four people hired with police power who work for the DVPR, who are accountants by profession, and can more or less go into the association, get the necessary records, and get down to yes, embezzlement or no embezzlement. And that is the very important thing. And funny enough, the people who always scream that there's so much lobbying for the welfare of these associations and so on, they are the ones who don't want that. And why? Because they all have their fingers in the pot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. There's there's such a thing as a forensic auditor, and these auditors specialize in going in and finding the fraud in the books and records. And I think that it is these people who probably need, they've got the background in auditing and they've got the background in looking through the books and records. What they need to do is get the training on exactly what to look for in an association. Maybe they already know. Maybe they don't need quite that training. But I think that if you get the correct people, the right people, and you have enough of them, obviously four people is not enough to do this.
But it's a start.
It's a start. Absolutely, it's a start.
And see, we have many people who come forward and say, look, here's our bank statements, here are checks, you know. But as you well know, that will not convince a state attorney. So you need more. And these people, either they don't have the money to hire a forensic auditor, because don't forget, they're outrageously expensive.
No. I'm saying that when you have this pilot project, when the state, look, the state's got to step up to the plate at some point. And they've just shunted all of this responsibility onto the private sector. They keep going in, they keep coming up writing these absurd, ridiculously stupid bills that keep giving the industry more and more powers, that give associations more and more powers, that render the owners helpless. They need to step up, the state needs to step up to the plate. They've put people in this position. They need to step up to the plate, and they need to provide the experts to go in and clean this mess up. I still go back to this is not a valid or a viable form of housing, and we need to start asking that question. Otherwise everything we're doing is just tinkering around the edges. We're trying to make a lead balloon fly. It's not going to do it.
To be very honest, my prediction is that since the law which promised these people in these associations help totally failed to provide anything, but more billing hours for attorneys and more money for CAM managers, more and more of these associations will fall behind. Because don't forget, many associations already pay their bills from the so-called reserve funds, which is actually a violation of the law. But hey, if you don't have money, you don't have money. You take what you have, right? Before they turn off your water, if your water is turned off, you don't need any more reserve funds. But these reserve funds are kind of empty by now.
Yeah.
The people can't afford to pay any more special assessments. They're already over special assessed. You wouldn't believe it. You know, and so what happens, more and more associations will just have to fold. Period. End of story. And if there is more of that coming, maybe, something good comes out of it, because even the ones bought and paid for by special interests, these legislators will realize that's not the way it works, and we destroy our own homes. Because don't forget, who wants to live next to an empty condo building where the rats are in?
You know what, Jan? These people, the people who know what these things are about, they don't live in associations. And they're not moving, so they're not making it easy for anyone to buy into something that is not in an association. Everybody is stuck in these...
You know, I will never, ever forget the first day of the HOA Task Force meeting in Tallahassee in 2003. Sitting next to me was Joe Adams, one of the main attorneys of the law firm of Becker and Polyakov. And we all introduced each other, you know, and he said, well, yes, I'm Joe Adams, an attorney, and blah, 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 you know, the whole nine yards. And then came, you know, we all said, if we live in a condo HOA, and then he said, I would never move into one homeowners association.
Right.
Ha! You know, he promotes it, tells everybody how great it is, and, you know, how much they protect property values, and then the next thing he says, I would never move into one. Why is that? If they're so good and have all these advantages, why not moving into one? I would.
One of the questions that I always ask any CAI member that I meet, or anyone who comes on the show, you know, right now CAI is not having a whole lot to do with me on an official basis, but everyone that I have interviewed, everyone that I have asked, do you live in an HOA? They have spent a whole hour talking about the wonderful virtues of communal living, and this is so wonderful, and you've got all of this nice neighborhood, and you've got these poor volunteers who, you know, they talk about the problems and then they blame the homeowners. They talk about, you know, the wonderful things, and they praise the board members, and then they talk about more problems. And so my last question to them always is, do you live in an HOA? Who, me? Are you crazy? Would I do a stupid thing like that? Hey, hell no. And the legislators as well. Most of them don't live in an HOA.
We talked before, during the last session with one legislator. I don't want to name names in that moment. When I asked her, do you live in an association? And she very proudly announced, yes, and I'm a board member, and we don't have a problem, so why should we change anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello?
I know. The answer is, if you don't like it, become a board member. If you don't want to do that, then move. Because there's nothing wrong with this. But you know what? The people who understand, the people who are smart enough to know that it's going to take... The problem isn't who is on the board. The problem is that you have a form of housing that is not sustainable.
And right.
It's just wrong.
And you know, what a stupid argument. You know, the next thing you hear from a legislator, you know, oh, no, my bank wasn't robbed, so why should we have laws against bank robbery?
Yeah.
You know, that's the same stupid argument.
Yep.
You know, but to my knowledge, we do have laws against bank robbery. And, you know, that is always what I say. You know, why are you robbing a bank? You know, you may get $20,000, $30,000, but every law enforcement agency in the States is after you. You know, get elected on the board of a association, embezzle $500,000, and nobody will even bother to go after you. You know, how stupid can you be robbing a bank?
I don't know. We are talking to my good friend Jan Bergman. Jan is the super active and very successful president of Cyber Citizens for Justice, a Florida-based advocacy group with a number of alliances and a number of members. And you guys are very active in Florida. So you have a website. You want to give us your web address?
Well, we have actually two websites. One is for the news, which is www.ccfj.net. And the other one is for educational purposes, because it's often hard to find out how the laws really look like and what they mean, and that goes under www.ccfjedu.net.
Awesome. So that's ccfj.net and ccfj.edu.net.
No dot in between the CCFJ and the EDU.
Oh, there is no dot. It's all one word.
The dot is only before the net.
Okay. So, sorry, forget what I said. It's ccfjedu.net.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful. And there's a lot of good stuff on there. I was looking at some of the stuff that you have on your website over there, Jan, and you've been talking about this new bill, and you're talking about the title of what I have in front of me is Watch Magic Words, Future Monetary Obligations. Now, from what I gather, your wonderful legislators have decided that associations need the money, and if the owners don't pay it, they're going to go after the tenants if there is a tenant in place, and they're going to collect the rent money, right?
That is what they decided, yes. But the wording of the bill doesn't sustain what they promised the people, because they promised them if the landlord, the owner, doesn't pay his dues and is behind with his dues, then the association can ask the renter to pay the rent to the association. That was the initial promise that was being made. But then they changed the wording a little bit here and a little bit there, and now it's suddenly only future monetary obligations. I don't know who put this word in there, but he did a great disservice to the association and its owners, because future means future. Doesn't mean past, does it? The minimum, not what I learned in school.
So what's the intent of the law? What's supposed to happen? Do you know?
I don't think anybody knows. This is the problem with the whole 103 pages of bill. It is so badly written.
CAA, you know, I must be behind it.
it is really. I wonder who really wrote that. That person should be tarred and feathered and thrown in the ocean for the sharks or something like that. You know,
I tell you what, it's not, the legislators don't come up with this. It's presented to them, and who on earth would present something that horrendous other than a member of the industry?
Yeah, and you know, the stupidity behind is, you know, in the same bill, they now allow associations to suspend the rights of these renters to use pool, gym, tennis court, whatever they have. So what incentive do these people have to pay anything? You know, what you do is, if you're smart, if you get a letter, you know that your landlord doesn't pay, right? You know that your landlord as well doesn't pay his mortgage, because, you know, the association is faster with foreclosing than the mortgage company. So what do? They don't pay anybody for 2 months. That means they get their first and last month's rent back, and then they move whenever they feel like it.
A lot of landlords, especially if there's a little bit of a problem with the tenant's credit history, will ask for post-dated checks. So you will sit down and write January 1, February 1, and you will write the checks and date them for each month. So the landlord already has all your checks. Now, how in a situation like that, how is the tenant? Is the tenant supposed to pay an additional?
No. There is a provision in that bill that if it's prepaid, the association can't demand it. But they still can kick you out of the pool and everything else. So you don't get all what you paid the rent for. I mean, even if it's a pre-written check, I was told by an attorney you can cancel the check, stop payment on it, for breach of contract. There are ways, but it costs all attorneys.
I was going
to
say, that's
all there is to it. The whole bill, back and forward, it's all about billing hours. Whatever provision there is, and whatever they all promise these people, it will not do what it promised, but it will get riches for these attorneys. These renters language is one. There is as well one, as the condo people always complained, the banks only have to pay, back dues for 6 months once they take over, why the law in Florida says, the bank is obligated to pay 6 months or up to 1% of the original mortgage debt. But 1% of the mortgage debt was already, in many, many cases, less than 4 months. So you couldn't get even the 6 months. You know what they did? To make the people be happy, they told them, oh, we convinced these banks, to give you 12 months. But the 1% stays in place. One attorney said to one of the legislators who actually was behind the bill, one of the main sponsors of the bill, he said, why didn't you just write in there for 5 years? The associations wouldn't have gotten a dime more. It's all feel-good measures. It looks good. Yeah. But if you look behind the scene, nothing comes out of it.
Yeah.
90% of the whole bill is feel-good measures. The guy who doesn't pay can't serve on the board anymore. Most families who have financial problems here in the moment have different problems than serving on the board, then comes, you can't use the pool anymore. What do you want to do if I go in the pool? Kick me out? I have you arrested.
You know what they do over here is they take away your parking space. And if there's any kind of question about whether or not you owe, even if you claim you have already paid and the association screwed up, and they're not willing to sit down and work things out or explain things or get to the bottom of the dispute, what they have the authority to do is to take away your parking space. And they've done that to elderly people. So the people have had to park way away and trudge through snow or incredible heat, because their cars will be impounded and towed if they drove home. Jan, the nonsense, the horrors, the disgusting behavior that a lot of these boards are doing, the management companies, with the guidance of the attorneys, is just so bloody horrendous.
Well, look, Shu, let's be very honest. Don't get me wrong, they're good board members as well. So let's not talk about them. But there are many board members who are just plain power hungry, who had nothing in their life they could be proud of, and now they suddenly have the power to tell their neighbors to stand at attention when they say so, and if you don't, I am after you with all the might and power of our big law firm. But here's the point I'm always making. These people are much too stupid to come up with these ideas by themselves. They are being told by camps and or law firms how to harass these neighbors and how to make them miserable. You know, and that is it. You know, believe me, if an election, a way of cheating election is one day in Miami and the next day in the Panhandle and the third day in Daytona Beach, you know, it's not because the board members had all these great ideas. No, it was because an attorney told them it worked in Miami, try it here.
Well, the attorneys sort of networked together, and you're right, not all board members are bad. I know several very good ones, but the problems that arise quite often are board members that either are not willing to educate themselves, and I'm not talking about taking a course by CAI, because that is not a good idea, but who don't take the time to learn what they're supposed to be doing. The ones who allow the management companies to manipulate them, and the ones who allow themselves to be scared and bullied by the attorneys, because quite often the attorneys will go into closed session with the board members and they will tell them, look, if you don't do this, you could be personally sued. You know as well as I do that is not going to happen.
Right, that's why I always say the first one to kick out is your damn attorney. But, you know, that's what we normally do when we're successful with recalls. Because, to be very honest, like I said before, at fault are very, very often not the board members. Some of them wouldn't even know how to say peep without an attorney. They are the attorneys and the CAMs who give them all these splendid ideas how to create billing hours and more, make more money for the CAMs. That is plainly it. And they are greedy. And in my opinion, they're working very, very hard on killing the golden goose they have. Because they are overdoing it. Association go bankrupt. You know, if you're bankrupt, you can't pay your bills anymore. And I know that already quite a few law firms got stuck in bankruptcy proceeding with loads of unpaid bills, which they will never get paid. You know, hey, couldn't hit a better person. But nevertheless, that is the way it works. And I think they should have shown some reason and some common sense. You know, they created this weird living places, and you know, they make loads and loads of money. You know, and you want to hear the real funny part of the new bill? You know, now if you become a condo board member, you have to have sign a certification that you learned, you know, about condo law and all these kind of things coming with it. And the DVPR was supposed to name the approved education providers, right? Okay, here it comes. First of all, the law firms who are responsible for this ill-advised, stupid bill called S-1196, which has all these flaws in it, they are good education providers. And then people like, for example, Pete Dunbar, who writes this famous book about condominiums and who is one of the lobbyists who pushed this bill, you know, so meaning what do? You put give the certificate to your secretary and then attach the receipt for the book, or what you do? I mean, I don't know. This is stupid. See, you know, it makes no sense. And whoever came up with that idea, you know, must have a few screws loose.
A few?
Well, all the few they have.
You know, I'm sitting here listening to you, Jan, and I'm wondering. Now, CAI must have a little more going for it than being this stupid, unless they believe that the whole concept, the whole HOA thing is going to collapse onto itself. And, you know, it's happening in certain parts of the state, there are certain parts of the country, where associations are really falling apart, and you're talking about having some demolished, and I know there have been some that have been really poorly run. Do you believe, do you think, is it possible that the industry is just going to make hay while the sun shines because they don't think that the association thing is going to be around that long?
It's a good possibility because, see, normally if you have a good thing going, and they do, believe me.
Oh, I know.
You know, you don't kill that. You know, but with, for example, the bill they passed here in Florida, they're on the best way killing these associations. You know, because people, they can't afford to live there anymore. They price these people out of their homes, period. End of story. You know, combined with the fact that the property values totally dropped, you know, the ones which are well protected, you know, the property appraisers get less property tax, and Florida lives from property taxes, nothing else. You know, we have barely any other tax here. And there's no money, so now comes they have to raise the millage rates. You know, meaning that the people who still have money to pay have to pay more. You know, that only goes up to a certain limit. Then these people are broke as well. So what are they then going to do with all this stuff that are part of the common interest property of these associations? Look, we are here, golf courses, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know, a golf course being part of your community was fashionable. You know, you just had to have a golf course on, in your community. You know, so we have golf courses here, up the Yahoo, right? Half of them are in the meanwhile busted, you know, because they don't have enough players. The PGA admits that the number of golf players drops rapidly because the new generation is not so much into golf anymore. What do? They now, the people who paid extra prices for their lot because it was on lot 16, they are now living next to weeded the former golf courses who look horrible, you know, and now they're discussing putting high rises on these golf courses, meaning that the person in his single family home who paid $40,000 extra for a nice place, a nice view on hole 18, suddenly looks at a 24-story high rise, ugly like hell, and that's all he sees when he looks out of the window because this condo blocks every view he ever had.
So that's called protecting his property.
Oh, yeah, that's protecting property values, you know. And you know, this person, more or less, he has to live in this house until he or she dies, and then whatever happens to the house, because nobody wants it.
You know, about 12 years ago, when Wayne Hyatt was a guest on another show that I did, a previous show, for those of you who don't know who Wayne Hyatt is, Wayne Hyatt is one of the big gurus of CAIF. I think he's a past president of CAI, and he works for associations and the developers, and he's based out of Georgia. He's kind of a well-respected, you know, attorney, basically. And he was on the show, and I remember him distinctly telling us that use was down for, you know, we're going back 12 years ago, the use for all of these amenities, swimming pools, tennis courts, golf courses, people did not use them. But they were told, they believed that, oh, well, if there is a golf course there, then my property is going to be worth more because someone might pay me an extra $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 because there is a golf course there. But the thing is, you're telling me now that they're destroying them.
Yeah, they're fighting. You know, that's why we have Amendment 4 running here in Florida. You know, we're trying to put an amendment in the Constitution that all land use plans have to be voted upon by the voter, you know, not anymore by corrupt politicians.
So if we've known for at least a decade, more than a decade, that the use is down and people are not using this stuff, why on earth are we continuing to build the stupid things?
What? Don't ask me.
You know, this is what, and I know that you don't have the answer, and but what I'm trying to do here, Jan, is plant the seeds out there in people's minds. That, you know, this is what's happening. Don't, for God's sakes, don't believe everything you are told. You know, here's what's happening. You know, you're talking about a lot of these problems, and on your website, one of the links that you sent me, you said a condo in Broward, the guard stopped every renter and handed him a demand letter to pay the rent to the association since the landlord failed to pay the maintenance dues. And until all is paid in full, the renter can't use the amenities anymore. Great way to ask the renter to move. You had story after story after story of some of the abuses and the sheer stupidity that's going on in associations. Did Zogby ever contact anyone in these associations to find out just how happy they were?
Well, they shouldn't, because, you know, they're paid by the CAI, and the CAI wants certain results out of their surveys, and if Zogby would actually contact the real people, meaning the people who are not CAI members and who tell them what the CAI wants to know, they would find out that it's all bogus. Because, look, we had a survey which was promoted by newspapers. You know, they were in Florida newspapers. They had articles, you know, go to the survey and do this. And we only accepted votes from people who gave us their name and their locations, you know, not anonymous thing of, you know, we had some, they tried five times to vote and things like that. We had more than 1,000 answers from people all over Florida. Guess what? 95% hated their association. Wanted changes, wanted out, you name it, you know. And these were not people who were solicited by us or by people we know would be friendly to our cause. These were people who answered to an article in a public newspaper, you know, like the Sun Sentinel, I think the Jackson Times had it, St. Petersburg Times, you know, and that, Orlando, that is how we got our votes on that survey. And that survey painted a totally different picture.
You said 1,000 people responded?
More than 1,000, yes.
More than 1,000.
I remember, you know, we had here in Orlando Channel 6's telephone panel. You know, the people at the channel there were surprised. You know, they had more than 750 calls. Nothing ever happened like that before in the whole history of the channel. Not even close.
Yeah, I realize.
You know, people are desperate, believe me, I'm getting. You know, I sometimes feel so bad because you have these, you know, little old ladies, we always call them, you know, the ones invisible behind the steering wheel. You know, they call desperate, you know, they want to foreclose on my house. They sent me special assessment, first one for 5,000, then one for 7. I live on Social Security, now they want to take my home away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 85 years old. You know, where should I go?
Yeah.
And you have to tell them, I'm really sorry. You know, actually, we collected money you know, and saved a few of them, you know, by paying off their debt, you know, because they were so sad stories. But, you know,
you can't do it all.
Yeah, you would need to be the guy from Microsoft, you know, to pay them all.
Yeah. That's really sad. And those are the stories that need to get out, Jan. Some of them are getting out, but people need to understand that this isn't just some person. You know, the guy, the Clowers in Texas got a lot of publicity and they got a lot of outrage. But there are a lot more people out there. There are a lot of little old ladies, like you say. It's not their fault.
Right, and you know, I kind of hoped they would make a case out of it. No, they settled behind closed doors, and nobody is allowed to know what the settlement is, you know. That doesn't really help a lot of people. You know, most likely they gave them a lot of money to shut up. Here's your house back, here's some money, some damages, shut up. You know, and you move back in and we are all clear, because they know it is bad publicity.
This has got to stop. And I've said this before, every one of these, they go out, they harass, they abuse people. And when people are at their last, you know, on their last dying, then the association will approach them for a settlement. And one of the settlement agreements is that you will have, there's a gag order. There is something seriously wrong with that idea, because it's the homeowners, the neighbors, who are going to be paying for what the board did right there, and paying the attorneys who also advise the board, and they're not allowed to know where their money goes. That has got to stop, Jan. Gag orders.
I know I repeat myself, but I already said it years and years ago, before the whole thing here collapsed. You know, I grew up near the Berlin Wall, you know, on the good side of Germany, you know, on the other side there was East Germany. And all over the news and the TV we heard about all these horror stories and how bad this regime is and what they do to their people and so on. I can assure you one thing. As bad as it may have been there, it was not as bad as we have it here in our so-called community associations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't throw people out of the door and made them sleep under the bridge, you know, because they couldn't pay $250 in association dues. You know, they didn't do all things. They didn't harass them. You know, okay, if you said something wrong, you may have ended up in jail. But what do they do here to people? They dislocate whole families. They throw them out of their homes with, you know, that's it. That's bad. And we are the land of the free. Let's change the national anthem.
Go Cubs, right?
Yeah, right.
Jan, always, always, always good stuff. We are almost out of time. I just wanted to thank you for coming on. And is there anything, one last thought? I mean, you've got less than a minute to go.
One last thought. What we need are decent legislators. We need people like Julio Romina. You know, I said we need to clone him. It's not possible. It's against the law, because obviously the other legislators can't do without their campaign funds and their doggy bags full of money. But we need to see that we vote in legislators, and we have to look at their campaign activity. And if you have a legislator who has a big, huge campaign fund there and with very few donations, then you know that legislator is already bought and paid for. Don't vote for them. Good legislators will help us, and that's it.
Well, I'm a big Julio Robina fan,
so
all of you in Florida, if you're listening, please go to the polls. Please punch the pregnant chats or whatever it is that we have nowadays for Julio. And Jan, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Keep up the good work. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.